श्री श्रीमान डिवाइन ग्रेस वैचरणिंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय नंद को दिवैष्णव वृंद की जय जय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। हरे कृष्णा हरि बोल। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। थैंक यू ब्रो। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र।
Which one is written?
Text 20. Okay. So we're going to read from 17 because Maharaj read up to 16, and then 20 is the one that has purpose. Okay, Prabhupada wanted us to read the Sanskrit, thus we read the Sanskrit. This is like Sanskrit gym. Savanarendravalarudaviharakoshta Sri Dwaragopurasadovalavivitanka Nirevajamannadishanadvayahemakumba श्रृंगातका गजकुलारादिनी वगुर्ना। After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by the chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. Text 18. Raksha patista dhavalokya nikumba kumba dum raksha durmukha duran suranta din Putram prahasta matikaya vikampanadim sarvanugam samahinot atakumbhakaranam. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumba, Kumba, Dumraksha, Durmukha, Shurantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son, Indrajit. Thereafter, he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally, Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against enemies. Text 19. Tam yatu dana pritanam mashishula chappa prasha sristi sash Shakti Shara Tomara Kagda Durgham Sugriva Lakshman Marutsutta Gandama Gandamadha Nilanga Darkshika Nilanga Darksha Panashadivir Ambitogat. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invisible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prashas, rishtis, shakti arrows, katgas, and tomaras. Text 20. Okay. Tenikapara gopater avipatya sarve. Dvam dvam baruta mivapati ratashva jodai. Jagnur drumair giri gadeshu vir angadadhyā. Sita vimarsha hata mangala ravaneshan. Devotees. Teni kapara gupatera vipatya sarve. Mothers, ladies,
Sita Vimarsha Hata Mangala Ravaneshan. Translation.
Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength: Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, "Mam anushmara yudacha." Think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability. But for victory, we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadharo Srivasari Gauravata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One shouldn't speak in front of superiors, but because I was instructed, then I only can speak, otherwise it's considered an offense. So here we are hearing about Lord Ramachandra and his amazing pastimes. And something very interesting that Srila Prabhupada points out is that the army of Lord Ramachandra was made out of monkeys. I remember once when my early days in Krishna consciousness, still I'm in my early days, but many years back, we had grown long hair. I mean, this is already long, but longer. So my Guru Maharaj came around and he said, you know, we were brahmacharis, bhaktas in the ashram. And he said, why are you growing long hair? And then we said, to preach in the university so people don't get scared. Nowadays, shaving our heads, it's cool. In those days, you know, you were coming out of a psych ward or from prison or something like that. So he said, you look like a monkey. He said, like that. He says, you may do it for some time, but I like it short. So here Prabhupada is mentioning that although Lord Ramachandra's army was made of monkeys and they were throwing stones. Have you seen monkeys fight? Huh? They grab stones and sticks and, you know, in a clumsy way they fight. Huh? Sometimes they have like gang fights in Vrindavan, you see them. You know, from one street to the next, they gang up and then start throwing things and they make noise and hang onto the cables. Yeah? So they can get really angry and they do fight. Right? So imagine thousands of those monkeys, different size, supporting Lord Ramachandra. And there they went very bravely to fight with the sophisticated soldiers of Ravana. So these monkeys wouldn't even shoot arrows. The only ones who were shooting arrows were Lord Ram and Lakshman. And then the other side, they were having or equipped with modern warfare. Huh? Can you imagine, you know, like nowadays, modern warfare, what does that mean? You have missiles. You had, you know, these things, infrared systems, and then they follow the heat. No? Drones and so many things, right? So that was the situation, right? That was the situation. You see, Krishna, we like to have fun, right? And we work ways to have fun. But Krishna is the supreme person. So he really knows how to have fun. He really knows how to create drama. And he likes sometimes these things. Why drama? Sometimes people ask, why Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the middle of a battlefield? Why not in a beautiful forest? Spiritual. Sometimes we have this misconception of a spiritual. Something that is, especially nowadays, yoga, new age. Spiritual means something, you know, apparently peaceful like that. But the potency of bhakti is that spiritual, true spiritual, even the deepest spiritual realization can be manifested in the middle of a battlefield, just like now. All these monkeys jumping up and down, throwing stones, sticks, mountain peaks, trees to the other soldiers, to the opposing army. And these other people, they were equipped with all these modern gadgets, huh? And they were unable to defeat them. So Prabhupada makes a wonderful point here. He says there are two kinds of strength. What are those strengths? Who remembers? Daiva and Purushakara. Purushakara. So Daiva, he explains, refers to the strength achieved from whom? From the transcendence. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence. And Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. What's that verse? Krishna Surya Samamaya Haya Andakara Jahan Krishna Tahanayi Mayaradikara. That Krishna is like the sun. Krishna is like the sun. And Maya is like shadow, the lack of Krishna, the lack of the sun, its shadow. So, whatever there is Krishna, then there is knowledge. The line in the under the back to Godhead, huh? Like that. That Prabhupada coined there. Because from Krishna comes power, from Krishna comes strength. So those devotees who take shelter of Krishna, they are empowered. Maharaj was referring yesterday to one statement that Prabhupada did in regards of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You can see it in that video also when I think it's Vishnu Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur only did 50%, right? You've seen that video where Prabhupada is in LA, I think is Vishnuyan Maharaj and other people around. And Prabhupada says, huh? And then he repeats the question. And then he says, he just did 50%. And then Prabhupada says, that is his mercy. He says a few things, but basically he says, that's his mercy. He could have done everything. He's Vaishnava. Vaishnava means that has Vishnu backing him up. So a Vaishnava can do everything. Right? But he left the other 50% for us to do. That is his mercy, he says. So we do. Prabhupada so confident. So he could see it. He left half for us to do. Like that. So this daivi strength, daiva strength, is something that we seek for. I forgot the Sanskrit, or I don't know, it's Bengali. There is a verse that says that those who take shelter of Lord Balaram, they obtain spiritual strength. Forgot Balam something, forgot the Sanskrit or Bengali. So that's what we pray for. When we chant our rounds, we pray to our spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that when we chant our beads, it's that we are massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet. We are, please, give me your mercy. So that's the idea, that we feel unqualified. I was called a monkey. Actually, in Ecuador, in South America, there are two regions. The mountain region, and there are a few cities there, and then the lower, or the coastal area. And the people from the coastal area, they are called monkeys. So when we go around, they say, oh, where are you from? Guayaquil. Oh, you're a monkey. That's what they call. Different places in South America have different nicknames, animal nicknames. Latins are a bit harsh like that. So, and what does that mean? That means that you are very curious, you're very naughty, you're not disciplined, like that. There are many things to be said about the monkeys. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he said that sometimes false renunciants, they cut the hair. You see the monkeys, they have like hair like this long. Right, but they jump from one tree to another, looking for girlfriends, like that, looking for nonsense. Right? One good thing about the monkeys, though, if you go to Mayapur, the monkeys there are very well behaved. This is just an advertisement for Mayapur. When you come to Mayapur, they may come and sit with you. They're big. They call them Hanuman monkeys, long tail. They sit there, right? And then if you have some prasadam, they may gently indicate. They do like this, you know. So the Mayapur monkeys are, I think, you know, they are the, I don't know if more advanced or whatever, but I have videos of them. So, no, isn't it? They come and people are sitting there and they sit there, like, huh? Kiyo, kiyache, prasadam, like that. But the Vrindavan ones, right? The lenses, they go for everything like that. So monkeys in general, they are misbehaved. They are disorganized. But Lord Ramachandra, he took the monkeys. Lord Chaitanya, he took also the lowest, like that. He uplifted, you know, the lowest, the most fallen. Ravindra Saruprabhu explains that when Prabhupada came, he came with the idea to address the intelligentsia of the world, right? The topmost people. But then Prabhupada commented, he sent me fifth class hippies. You know that video where Prabhupada is there? I don't know, I think it's in Dallas airport, We're going to Dallas next. Prabhupada is there, and that reporter asked Prabhupada, and he said something about hippies. Somebody asked him, what would happen if more people will take Krishna consciousness or spiritual life the way you will take it? And Prabhupada says, very jolly way, he says, oh, they'll be very happy. There will be no more hippies. And everyone laughed. And then, you know, the guy was trying to be a little smart. He says, Swami, how would you define a hippie? And Prabhupada says, something extraordinary. You know better than me. So that's what Prabhupada did. He took, the hippie word has kind of a, exotic connotation. But if you read, if you research, the things that Prabhupada had to say about the hippies is not nice, right? Dirty and addicted to, lower sense gratification, and so many bad things. Worse than monkeys, like that. And that's what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada took up so many people that they didn't know left to right, and he engaged them like that. He gave them the world, gave them Krishna consciousness, gave them hope, and helped them to achieve so many wonderful things. So this is the potency of Krishna consciousness, that whatever happens in this movement is because of that daiva strength that comes from Krishna, that's what the parampara does. They take it from Krishna and then they bring it down. The knowledge is brought down by the devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma that the reason why shastras are presented is because shastras are endowed with Krishna Shakti, and they can ignite the spirit of devotion. Sometimes Prabhupada says, fire is in wood. When we see a log, there's fire, right? We don't see it, but it's there. All what we need to do is put some fire and then or some heat and ignites. I remember as a child, then we see the sun coming up, then we get a magnifier. Young kids don't do that anymore. Now they do tablets and iPads and things like that, right? But those who are old enough will play with a magnifier. And then you just go out there, and then you see, you put some leaves or some dry grass, and then ignites. How is this magic? Right? Especially when you get younger kids. Oh, come, I know how to do magic. And then you do some barabam, you chant some mantras, and then the little kids say, wow, he knows magic. Like that. So, one time Prabhupada was in, I forgot now where, I always get confused, some pandal, I don't know, Bombay, Delhi. And somebody asked Prabhupada, those were the days of the white elephants. It might have been the first tour that he did, maybe the second tour, I forgot, 71, something like that, early. And then, 10,000, 20,000 people, 30,000 people, that's normal in India. You have never been to India? You have? Oh, you have? Oh, you never lived in India? Acha. So, it's normal. When we ask here, oh, how many people came? Radhastami, like almost 300 people. Wow, amazing. There are 30,000 people, no problem. So Prabhupada is sitting in this, one of the first big pandal programs, maybe Bombay. And somebody asked him, Swamiji, what's your magic? And in India, a Swamiji, every Swamiji has to have some magic. Otherwise, he's no Swamiji, he's no Guruji, right? You have to do some, magic feat, and then people will believe, and they'll give you donations or something. So Prabhupada stopped for a while, and then he pointed out of all these disciples that were with him, a number, maybe a dozen or so, all young boys and girls from America, Europe. And then he said, this is my magic. This is my magic. That's Prabhupada's magic trick. How is it possible that someone, till today, yeah, especially those wide bodies, right? When you go to Mayapur, right? I remember my children when they came to Mayapur, and given that they are not that fair skin, right? And I'm going to embarrass Gopal. So we were in Mayapur, him and his brother Madhava, clean shaved heads, right? They'll go around Mayapur, and what will the Indian visitors will do? They wanted to touch their cheeks and take photos, right? And these rascals, they would charge people 10 rupees, 20 rupees, right? So, because for Indian people to see, you know, they would ask, where are you from? Oh, Australia or Dakin America. They even learned some, you know, they had a whole business set up. You know, that's the monkey genes coming up there. So, for Indian people to see Vaishnavas, you know, shaved up, Sikhs, you know, chanting, dancing, it's still today. You know, they just can't understand. How is it possible? Russians, Chinese, how is this possible? This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They don't understand half a word of Hindi, Bengali, and their Sanskrit is very, very funny, I tell you. Yeah, sometimes I give class to Russian group. Very, very funny. But there they are. There they are. Chanting Hare Krishna, distributing books, right? The Russians, they are. We have a group of them. They go out and distribute books. They speak, some of them speak better Bengali, so they can distribute books, than English. The English is terrible. But the Bengali, oh, Kamanacho. Ah, I'm not Namki. They give the whole line, so they can sell books. Why? Why? Huh? This is crazy. Why they don't go and make some money or enjoy somewhere? Right? Like that. So for the people from India, the visitors, the pilgrims that they come, this is amazing. It's like a big circus, you know? They are paka dressed up, and we have pujaris and you know, people doing jagya. What's the head of the Gurukul, Maharaj Gurukul? Priti Mashai, he's from Czech Republic, you know, and he's the main Brahmin, chanting all these Puranic Vedic mantras, you know. So, this is Prabhupada's potency, the power that he had to transform people that were like monkeys. We didn't know anything. I mean, you from Indian background, you are blessed because, you know, you kept hearing this from grandpa, grandma, and tradition is there. I remember once my Guru Maharaj came to Thailand, so we had a bit of following after maybe a year and a half preaching there with an American brahmachari, Lila Raj Prabhu. And so when he arrived, when my Guru Maharaj arrived, I wanted to organize, you know, Pada Puja and Guru Puja and all that. But my partner in crime, in preaching, he wanted to keep it plain, right? He wanted Guru Maharaj just to give a class and like that. So he was like very, very concerned. And then he said, and I we were like, you know, we were only two brahmacharis. We already had our politics. We already, the temple was divided, 50-50, the liberals and the conservatives. And I told Guru Maharaj, I said, you know, he doesn't want Guru Puja, I want Guru Puja. And then he says, no, he's a fanatic, and like that. So then at one point he said, no, it's okay, they can do some puja. You know, there are some Indians and many Thais. And then at one point he got heavy. He says, no, I think it's too much for them. And then my grandmother, he said, it's too much for you. For Asians, it's normal to worship others. It's normal to wash their feet, to do puja, to bow down to somebody else. For Americans, it's difficult. I mean, it sounded like an Indian was talking to you know. My Guru Maharaj, he's 6 feet tall and blue eyes, and he says, it's Americans the ones that have an issue with worshiping someone, you know. And then he stopped, and then we did the whole thing. But that the point is the contrast of cultures, the contrast of ideology. You know, whom do you bow down to? Only if somebody knocks you down, that's when you hit the deck. Otherwise, you don't bow down for no one. Isn't it? It's, right? Modern man, woman, you know, I don't bow down for no one. Yeah? But our culture is that it's like a spiritual gym here. Here, my son was telling me, you know, this is a very special place. You know, you bow down one and then bow down and the other, bow down and the other, you know. This is the way that we obtain daiva strength, divine strength, by bowing down. Who knows how many times was it Raghunath Das Goswami? Which one? The one that was bowing down 1,000 times, I don't know, right? To the ants and to, you know, the trees, and you know, this is. I remember once my auntie, the Hare Krishnas were in town, and they were creating waves. Three or four of my friends have not joined full on the ashram, but they were chanting and like that. They were turning vegetarians and things. So, in a conversation, my auntie said, one of my aunties, she said, you know these Hare Krishna people? I saw your friend there, and he's mumbling words alone. I think they're going crazy. Yeah, you know? So when people see us, that we mumble words, right, and then we bow down, this is crazy. It doesn't make sense, you know? Because why? Because of the culture. The culture shock. It doesn't make sense to put your head down in front of somebody that maybe is shorter than you. Prabhupada actually wasn't too tall, right? But you bow your head down to someone who's greater than you. That's the mood of the daivi process, bhakti process. So these monkeys, though animals, right? There's no harshness in calling an animal. These are animals. But they were so exalted because they were empowered. And that's the whole trick of Krishna consciousness. We need to be empowered. How much we want to be empowered, that determines our advancement. How much do we want to breathe? Has anyone here been near drowning? No? Anyone has been near drowning? Drowning. When you're drowning. In the water. Has anybody? No? You have? You fell. But so you were nearly drowning. Yeah, you were, yeah. Well, how does it feel? You freaked out. Right. You panicked. You panicked. How valuable was air then? Most valuable. So how much do we need Krishna consciousness? I'm okay. I'm going to take it easy. You know, still I'm youngish, I like to think. Still I have time. But we don't know. We don't know. At that time, you know, that was it. You were thinking, I'm gone. Right? we go and swim where with my son, we are proudly beach bums. We like to go to the beach and play with the waves and things like that. Monkeys. And sometimes we get nearly drowning, isn't it? We get a little traumatized. Prabhupada said, surfers means sufferers. But still we go. And then when you're drowning, all what you want is air. I don't know if you were thinking of your wife, of your kids, of your mortgage. I don't know what you were thinking of, but I can guarantee you were thinking of where is the air that I need. Yeah? I don't know if you were thinking, but instinctively you were looking for that. Right? Were you able to think? No. It was just that desperation. Right? So up to what point are we desperate for Krishna consciousness? Up to what point are we desperate to get that mercy? Right? It's not the head, it's the soul. You know, it's not the ink on the book, it's the need of the soul. That's what Sukadev Goswami speaks. Presents to Parikshit Maharaj. One of the questions, what a dying man needs to do. And let me give you Chicago News on Monday, the 4th of September. We all are dying men and women. Okay, so this applies to us. You know that pastime in the Krishna book where Kamsa is wanting to kill Devaki, right? Remember? Kamsa, why? Because the voice in the sky says, the son of your sister will kill you. Then he pulls his sword and he says, okay, I'm going to kill her right now. And what Vasudev tells him? You are dying anyway. This is not the way to manage or prevent death. Right? We are dying. Every happy birthday, it's 1 year less that we have. Every day, this is the Hare Krishna news. Thank you very much. So, Daiva Netrena, how can we have divine eyes? How can we have divine power instead of thinking my, what do you say that? Eloquency? Even someone's eloquent? You know, Maharaj Satchinanda says, he jokes about himself. And he says, sometimes I have a little demon in my head. And my little demon says, oh, you're so great, Swamiji. You know, you wrote these many books. You see, every time you talk, people laugh. People even clap at you. They give you garlands. You're so great. Huh? But if I forget that it's because my Guru Maharaj, I'm able to say something, then I'm finished. And he tells us a story, monkey-like. He said, the first time I went to see Prabhupada, he was a young boy, 16, 17 years old, had joined. And they engaged him. They didn't want him out in the streets because there's a problem, because he's too young and there's, you know, police and court cases and things like that. So they engaged him in translating Prabhupada's book into German. So he was there with the brahmacharis and everyone. And Prabhupada asked him, somebody said, here it is, Achinandan, or, you know, I think it was initiated. And he's translating your book, Srila Prabhupada. Oh. And then Prabhupada asked him, so, what have you understood? What have you understood? Right? So, he's put on the spot. Prabhupada's there. He's been reading him, you know, day in and day out. And then someone said, stand up and stand up. So Maharaj stands up, and guess what happens? Huh? His dhoti falls. Or about to fall. And then he said, for an instant, my pride, my heart was about to explode out of arrogance. Here I am, young boy, translating Prabhupada's books, saving the German population. I'm doing such a great service. All this in one instant came to me when I had the opportunity to show off in front of my spiritual master. As soon as I'm standing up, my dhoti, in a slow motion, start falling down, and all my layers of pride for years and years and lifetimes, they are just being naked in front of my spiritual master, the greatest fool. I realized, he said, the verse of, in front of the spiritual master, he said now, tie your dhoti properly. Because you don't want to embarrass yourself. So this is the thing that literally we are, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but I can talk for myself and I have evidence. People from my hometown, they are called monkeys. My Guru Maharaj told me, you look like a monkey. So I can factually say that we come from that level. However, by Prabhupada's mercy, we're able to talk something, and people clap, and people give us garlands, and invite us, and drive us around, and carry our bags, and, you know, how come? You know, in order to have achieved that, I would have to work several lifetimes. In order to achieve something close to that, I would have to be super rich and successful in order to be, you know, worshipped or honored or anything, or to achieve anything. But by Prabhupada's mercy, even though monkey-like, you know, we get so much that we don't deserve. Like I heard or read Radhanath Swami says, whenever they ask him, how are you, Maharaj? And he says, better than what I deserve. Huh? So here, to end, we always have to do this. Prabhupada quotes one of my favorite verses in Gita, Mam Anushmara Yudacha. Mam Anushmara Yudacha. The purpose of this movement is that we think of Krishna. The purpose of our process is that we remember Krishna. When? Not only when we come to the temple. When? All the time. Krishna says, if anything, remember this verse. 8-7, 8-7, 8-8, 8-9. If you want to remember Krishna, you have to know these three verses. How to remember Krishna? Krishna explains. Therefore, why he says therefore? Because he has been explaining that at the time of death, whatever you think or you remembered of, that's where you're going. Right? That's the reincarnation lecture. And then he says, therefore, tasmat, think of me. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu, mam anushmara yudacha. While you're fighting, you're thinking of me. While you're driving, cooking, doing your computer work, think of me. Huh? That's what Krishna explains. Chapter 8 takes what? 7, 8 and 9. And then he says, he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Okay? And then he gives us, I think, 8 or 9 ways to think of Krishna. So we do homework now. Okay? Class homework. You have to remember at least one. You're going to listen to 8 or 9, and you have to remember one. Okay, and then today you have to remember this, at least one. I'm not saying 8, I'm saying 1. Okay? So Krishna says, One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and this is one of my favorite, who is always a person. Huh? Beautiful. He is luminous like the sun. This is Krishna describing himself. We have the sun here. Look at Jamunaji. It's Krishna right in his face. His eyes are tearing. He's luminous like the sun. And he's transcendental, beyond this material nature. What's your pick? Sri Rupa Mataji? What's your pick? Huh? The controller. Okay? What's your pick? Which of the eight you chose? Which one? Huh? Which quality of this? Giridhari Prabhu? He's always a person. Acharya Prabhu? Which of these eight or nine qualities that Krishna described of how to remember him is the one you pick? The one that you choose from out of these eight? Uh-huh. That would catch your attention. Huh? All knowing. He knows everything. That's the first one, huh? I'm a monkey, I don't know Sanskrit. He maintains everyone. Okay. Suav? Always a person. Nice person, huh? Krishna is a nice person. Nice. Gopal? Controller. Anasuya Mati? Maintainer, Mataji? Yeah? You? Turquoise, Sari, whoever. Luminous like the sun. You? The oldest. Aha. Uh-huh. Anyone else? Person. Always a person. Omnipotent. Prabhu? Maintainer. Maintainer. Gregorihastha, so we have to. Yeah. He's a maintainer. Please maintain us properly. Nicely, nicely, but nicely. Krishna is listening. Smiling. Prabhu? All of the above. He's a real devotee. Good. Anyone else? What's yours? Always a person. Yeah, Krishna is amazing. Krishna exists. I asked one time Bhurijan Prabhu, I said, Arjuna is having Krishna next to him and Krishna is showing his universal form. And then he changes into his four-handed form. And then he changes into two-handed form. This is amazing. And Bhurijan Prabhu said, amazing? Krishna says that to understand the soul is amazing. To understand the soul is amazing. How amazing would it be, he said, that you're sitting here and Krishna is sitting next to you. That is amazing. That is really amazing. universal form, that's not amazing? That you're sitting here and then Krishna wants to sit on your lap, that is amazing. You know? And I was like, I was amazed by what he said. I was thinking, oh, universal form, that's not amazing. You know, they spent $2 million in New Year's Eve in Sydney, right? For fireworks. You know, amazing. Yeah? $2 million or more. But if Krishna wants to sit on your lap, or wants you to carry him around, that is amazing. You know that story, right? I'm going to tell you, and then we close. Krishna is playing with these cowherd boys, friends, and they are having this competition, right? Wrestling competition. So what happens with the ones who lose? Huh? They have to carry the winning team on their shoulders. So they are wrestling, right? So Krishna loses, Krishna team loses. And then they have to, you know, he has to pay, so he has to carry them, right? And then he says, I don't want to carry you, I'm the Supreme Personality of God. And everyone laughed. And then Krishna says, okay, whatever. That is amazing, that Krishna is a person and plays tricks with us, feed us so much. Yeah, yesterday we were about to go home. No, no, we go home. Two big pizzas intercept us, right? And then muffins. And, you know, Krishna is very playful here. He plays with your stomach, with your tongue. He has his ways. So that is amazing. You know, who are we to deserve this sort of... Through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he wanted that. You know, he had that mood. He had no temple, no Radha Krishna temple, nothing. Nothing. You know the first deity that appeared in... I know that there's a... What do you call it? There's a confusion about this. You know what the first deity that appeared in ISKCON? I know there are different theories, but anyway. You know? Who knows? Yes, you're right. You know everything. Here in Chicago, I cannot play my tricks. You know everything. Every time I want to impress the audience, somebody already deflate the effect. You guys are too good. Karta, what's her name? Karta Masai. Yeah, it's little Krishna, chubby, you know, this big. Somebody brought the deity. It was in San Francisco or New York. San Francisco, I think. Anyway, they brought that. And they're, you know, but he never was worshipped in the altar or anything. And they put it next to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada often commented on that. He says, they ask him, so what's the meaning of this deity? And you know, devotees, we want to know the esoterical. And then he says, he's happy. He's filled. He knows he's controlling. He's playing his flute. He has a stick. It's a little boy that he's playing, you know. And by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, you know, we are able to even talk about Krishna, you know. I never heard the word Krishna in my life. Never. Never. I never saw a photo of Krishna in my life at all, you know. The only thing I saw was the devotees chanting when I was 8 years old, 1971, in New York, you know. That's the only thing I saw. And then one devotee gave me a book and my life was finished. In the good sense. So monkey likes, dog likes, whatever your animal background is. We all have hope because of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is like a circus, what do you call, tamer? You know, the one that tames tigers, monkeys, whatever it is. Elephants, he makes them dance, you know. What we were discussing yesterday, swimming with whales, sharks, whales, whatever. Huh? Dancing, yes, dancing. So this is Prabhupada, this is ISKCON, this is what he wanted. Wonderful temples where people can come and be happy, We just walk half a block and you can see people are suffering. You can see, oh, I have to go to work. For how long? And then I'm going to die. What am I going to get? Old age, disease, deaths, disappointment. But you come to the temple, you know, prasadam, kirtan, service. It's amazing. The only problem, Ridhana Mara says, is our mind and our body. That's the only problem. If you think about it, I'm tired, I don't want to do it. Oh, I had enough, I never get a break. It's just the mind and the body, that's all. So thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gantarachma Bhattam ki jai. Any questions, any comments, any, we have, we're on time, is it? What time is it? Prashantam? Prashant time now? Oh, nine, okay. Can we have room for questions? Okay. Any questions? Please ask questions. You always have questions. Just press the try me. Yes.
So you mentioned, if you could speak a little bit more about accessing empowerment, or you said the daiva, to get the daiva strength, you mentioned two things. One was to bow down, and very colorfully you explained that, and also praying to Balram specifically get spiritual strength. Could you speak a little bit more about how do we access that spiritual strength and empowerment? Part of my question is coming from recognizing how weak I've been in that area.
Okay. What do you do if you want to get strength? What do you generally do? What generally people does when they want do when they want to get strength? Huh? Exercise. Huh?
Work out.
Go to the gym. What else? Huh? Take rest. What else? Huh? Train up. Take vitamins. Right? Supplements. Shakes of all sorts. Diet. Right? So there are several things, I would say. And you know them. Some things work better than others. I guess you're looking for the ones that help the most. Is that what you're looking for?
I see you as a very empowered person.
Empowered?
You know, to some degree, they help.
You keep feeding me, so I have to do my job. I have to do something. You brought me here, so I have to do...
Just how much you've assimilated of Prabhupada's mode and the missionary spirit, and as well as, you know, skills in being able to counsel and assist devotees, serve devotees. So I appreciate that very much. So if you could share some of that.
Okay, I'm just going to run the search on the computer and see what I remember. One time, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was asked how, in that line, how to, you know, really get the mercy. And he said, look for the harsh words of the sadhu. Look for the harsh words of the sadhu. Why? Oma Gyana Timirandasa Gyananjana Salakaya. The sharp words, the ones that cut right through. Guru Maharaj, I really want to advance. I really want to try. What should I do? Okay. You know. And then if you take it, then that's it. One time Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, what does it mean to be sincere? Prabhupada said, sincere means being sincere. What does it mean to have faith? Prabhupada said, faith means to understand that Radha and Krishna are here playing their pastimes. You know? But I would say, I asked one devotee, the devotee from Tirupati, god brother, and you know, he has built, I mean, you have a huge palace here, but you know, from nothing, he built Radha Govinda Astasakhi's temple, and he's so empowered. So I asked him, Prabhu, what's your secret? And I observed him. And he says, I make sure that every so often, in his busy schedules, he travels, he collects funds, serves in the GBC, he's the head of the devotee care committee. I make sure that every so often, I have the opportunity to see my Guru Maharaj and touch his feet. And then I go. And I have seen it many times. He comes. He's a big, big man, I mean, big god brother. And once, oh, Ribati Raman Prabhu. And then I see, Ramash, everything's going well, by your mercy, touches his feet. I'm off to Hong Kong, we're going to do some collection. Okay, prasadam. And he goes. Amazing. I know devotees who are preaching Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada disciples that never saw Prabhupada in Argentina, Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador. Many of these countries, they never saw Prabhupada. Right? But they talk as if they have seen Prabhupada. You know? Have you seen Prabhupada? We say no, but have we? Like that. Prabhupada is so close to us. Why? Because of the agency of someone else. So, if I may say that if we want to be empowered, we need to appreciate those who have been empowered. And we have this temple and we have this ISKCON because of someone else. Not because of us. I mean, Prabhupada disciple, exception, right? Temple president, co-temple president. XYZ. But because of their mercy, their work, and many of you. But I didn't do anything here. I never set foot in Chicago unless they brought me when I was so little, I don't know. But we have so much. And so we have to be thankful. Every time we pay obeisance, this is something that we were given to. Prabhupada one time was in Vrindavan and he was giving darshan. And he was talking about Kripa Siddha, Sadhana Siddha. Kripa Siddha, Sadhana Siddha. And he was giving darshan, a room full packed with guests, devotees, etc. And I forgot who was there. Somebody was assisting him. Harisodhi Prabhu writes in his transcendental diary. And one devotee, big devotee, meaning, you know, important, was doing something. So he came in the room. He wasn't aware what was Prabhupada talking. So he came in the room, Prabhupada, and came to say something to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was right in the middle of the point that Kripa Siddha means that you don't deserve, you don't even endeavor, but somehow, by some causeless mercy, you are given that. He was right in the middle. So the Prabhu walked and he came to tell something to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada did the mimic as if he was holding, you know, like a bag of gold coins or something like that. So Prabhupada did like this and he hit the devotee. The devotee came to, you know, something like that. So when he bent, leaned over to tell Prabhupada, he hit him. And then he held like that. And then Prabhupada said, Josie. And then he hit him again. And then he held him. Prabhupada. And then everyone's laughing. He says, just see. Prabhupada said, I'm giving. He's not taking. I'm giving a bag of gold coins. And then the devotee, he tried to, fake it till you make it. So, and he says, you see, he's not taking. So this is Kripa Siddha, that he takes it. When he takes it, and then the devotee tried to grab Prabhupada's hand, says, when he takes it, that's Kripa Siddha. Understood? Everyone, Haribol, Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we are given something that we don't deserve. And everyone is given that. Prabhupada has given these books to everybody, chanting to everybody. Right? How much did you fight to be temple president? How much did you canvass and make rallies and how much? Exactly. We just are given this. I don't want, I can't. Who am I? I don't deserve this. There is a paper there under the screen, and it's Prabhupada's prayer. How Prabhupada signed his prayer when he arrived to Boston? Who knows? Something is missing there. I don't know, at least in that paper, because I don't know if that's the original. Is the paper there? It was there yesterday. Maybe somebody put it away. It's a page. Yeah. Can you read the last bit, please? So I have evidence. Unfortunate. Insignificant beggar. Prabhupada was coming from India. He knows what a beggar means. In India, you really know what a beggar means. How Prabhupada signed that paper, I read it, and I thought, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Prabhupada, empowered by his Guru Maharaj, empowered by all the acharyas, and he's signing, unfortunate beggar. Right? Just with that line, Prabhupada says, one word. Right? You heard that statement? Just one word. Just that couple words. Unfortunate beggar. What else do we need? What other lesson do we need? This is how, the acharyas, Prabhupada, see themselves. Unfortunate beggars. So, how to be empowered when you become, or when you think or act as an unfortunate beggar? Krishna, Krishna, please give me something. Yeah, in India, right? When we are going around, beggars, Dakshin, something, give something. No, everywhere we go, right? Chennai, Bangalore, Calcutta, Mayapur, here and there. People, please give me something like that. So, I know this is not my level. This is Prabhupada's level, but we're just repeating like a parrot, monkey, parrot, you can choose. But then only you can really appreciate what it is that you are being given. In otherwise, generally, Guru forces you, take it. Right? When your children get sick, do they love to take medicine? If it's not colored and sugar-coated, they hate it. We hate it. Right? How old are you? 20. And he hates to take medicine. They still have to force him. We hate it. Oh, I have to wake up. Gee, these rounds all the time. Don't do this, don't do that. Go to bhajan class. How many bhajan classes? How many times we have to sing the same songs and see the same deities? How many times? But then you do it and push and push and push. And one day you think, It's nice to chant rounds. It's nice to come to class. It's nice because the heart starts changing. And then, oh, and then you repeat that. Prabhupada said, this is the end. Prabhupada said to the first devotee who went to Germany, was a young boy, 17, 18 years old. He said, Prabhupada, I may go to Germany. Something like parents, something, something. This is 66, 67. So Prabhupada said, oh, that's very nice. Typical Prabhupada, yeah, very, very nice. The devotee ended up going to Germany. And he goes there, shaved up, whatever. And he does imitate, like monkeys imitate, right? But just give the example, the context. And then he takes a pair of cartons. What does he do? He goes to the park and chants. And what happens? The boys and girls start coming. And then what happens after the second, third day? The news reporters start coming. And then they invite him to have a radio interview, television interview, right? He writes a text, not a text message like a smartphones now. A fax, what do you call it? A telegram. Huh? And then he tells, you know, the telegram's all broken, like, you know, what to do, da da da. And Prabhupada sent this message. You know, I always remember this. Basically, he's asking, how I'm going to tell them? What I'm going to tell them? I don't know nothing. I just know to imitate you. Like monkey imitates, you know? And then Prabhupada said, just tell them how happy you are in Krishna consciousness. Your ever well-wisher. Just tell them how happy you are in Krishna consciousness. Okay? That's why, if we are in this movement, we have to be happy. I forgot who, a big devotee, I don't know, Saraputta or someone, was taking initiation, brought in, I think, New Vrindavan, paid obeisance, raised their head. Prabhupada asked him, who's Lord Chaitanya? This is initiation interview. Who's Lord Chaitanya? An incarnation. He's not an incarnation. He's Krishna himself. Not even Krishna himself. Radha and Krishna combined. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Then someone said, oh, he's writing something, he's doing something. You know, three, four people. And Prabhupada. So they pay obeisance, again, because they are exiting. They, trembling, they look at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asks him again, are you happy? You know, you mess it up once, you don't want to mess it up again. And he couldn't even say anything. And Prabhupada said, I order you to be happy. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ganta Rachimabhatan ki jai. Gaur Pramanavati.